So Jane, how can you explain the antagonism towards Greta Thunberg in the wake of her speeches?
Well, it's awful when people tell you the truth and you've actually got no solid case. And I think there's an element of laissez majesty, a sense amongst some adults, particularly, it has to be said, white, straight men of a certain age, that Greta Thunberg should be deferential. She should defer. She should believe that her elders are her betters and know more about this than her. She is revealing both their ignorance, their deliberate ignorance. It's not ignorance because no one's told them. It's deliberate ignorance and denial of, you know, ever increasing, in fact, exponentially increasing evidence.
Right, absolutely. And so it's the threat of her age and her, you know, who she is and her identity more than what she's saying?
No, it's a combination. Mm-hmm. What she's saying, they find impossible to argue with by using facts.
Right.
So they have to use, they have to undermine her personally in the same way as they have to undermine anyone who sends that message powerfully. This is a phenomenon I've been observing for quite some time, and that is, the more they hate you, the more those in power hate you, the more effective you are being in terms of getting your message across to a large number of people.
Absolutely. So you, when we hear about, you know, Trump and other opinion columnists bringing things like her looks and, you know, her self-acknowledged mental conditions into the analysis of her speeches, that's sort of their textbook response when they, you know, to someone like this.
Yes, it's a textbook response when you actually have no case to make.
Yeah.
When, you know, you're basically trying to say to the, well, also when you're an authoritarian personality wants to say, because I say so.
Mm.
They don't want to give you a case because then they have to be seen to have a debate with you on an equal level. And to them, that feels like they're being brought down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see themselves as an equal. They attempt. I think there's an enormous insecurity at the base of this, but they cover that insecurity with the appearance of superiority. And it is the old patriarchal paternal pose of, don't you argue with me, young ladies. You do it because I say so, which has never been very effective, usually revealing of a father at the end of his tether or a mother at the end of her tether. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Now, given your long experience, Jane, in advertising and communications, how would you characterize Greta's communication style and strategy?
It's very effective. And that's because it's very simple. It's very, it clearly comes from the center of her guts. You know, she means every word of it. It is without artifice. It is not slick. It is not produced. It is not in any way sophisticated kind of media savvy.
Mm-hmm.
It is pure. It is honest. And I think the fact that it is coming from, you know, yes, I know she's 16, but she's a very childlike 16 in a lot of ways.
Right.
You know, she's not a, you know, a lot of 16-year-old girls look a lot more sophisticated than Greta Thunberg. And so I think that kind of mixture of innocence and absolute honesty is incredibly powerful. And I think, I know when I watched her very short speech to the UN, I just sat there silently thinking, she's absolutely right. I think she's also doing something quite interesting. I don't know if any of your listeners remember the old fairy tale about the emperor's new clothes.
Mm.
And it's like it took a boy to say the emperor's not wearing any clothes.
So it takes someone in that position or that level of innocence and like youth to kind of point it out and say what everyone else is pretending isn't there.
Correct. So it's an emperor's new clothes. Particularly when it comes to leaders like Morrison and Trump in particular, that it's incredibly kind of powerful that it takes a young and innocent person to point their finger and say, that person's talking garbage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you believe then?
Nothing to back it up.
So Jane, you believe then that Greta is winning this sort of public relations war when it comes to the space of climate change?
Yes, I think though the space of climate change is a very contested space.
Yes.
And there are people with very strong points of view on both sides. However, I suspect that as the evidence mounts in front of people's very eyes, denial becomes harder and harder to maintain. And in a way, that's why those people who are still trying to maintain a denial defense, nothing to see here, this is just cyclical, it's happened before, all that stuff, are starting to sound more and more shrill. They're becoming more and more vicious in their attacks, and are becoming, because they're getting more and more desperate,
right,
because it is getting harder and harder to maintain it. Frankly, it was always a short-term strategy. You can only deny science for so long.
So we can only hope that the denial doesn't last much longer
Well, and more people are taking to the streets. I think there's a higher level of urgency on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested. A long time ago, I heard Aidan Ricketts, who wrote the book, The Activist Handbook, say that activism is like the immune system. It rises in proportion to the threat.
Right.
So I think as the threat of climate change becomes more and more in our face, we are going to see more and more activism of the kind we've been seeing recently, and the deniers are going to have to get very shrill indeed.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jane, for joining us this morning to talk about it.
My pleasure.